Georgia lawyers Bob and Irreverent D talk law. Listen up for stories about how things really happen in our legal system. Who are these guys? Dwayne Singleton, Irreverent D, is a criminal defense attorney in the state of Georgia. Benjamin O. Benson, a.k.a. Bob, is a personal injury attorney in Atlanta. Today's show welcomes estate planning lawyer Adam Taylor. Now, sit back and take a listen as Bob and Irreverent D talk law.
That's, what could you possibly
that's
do?
That's 14 extra minutes.
Why would you do that?
You can read poetry when you're
All right, seriously. Welcome to
Take two.
Take two.
Two? This is take, like the five. All right, welcome to the Bob and Irreverent D Talk Law Podcast. I'm Bob. That stands for Benjamin O. Benson. I am Benjamin O. Benson of the Bob Law Firm. We're a personal injury attorney firm in Atlanta. I am joined, as always, by illustrious and the Reverend Irreverent D. That's irreverent, meaning like in your face, D, of the Singleton Trial Lawyers Group.
What's up, guys?
We're also joined today by Adam Taylor, longtime friend of the show.
And returning guest.
Returning guest. One of our favorites. Amongst our favorites. At least in the top five of our favorites.
Oh, wow. Top five. I've moved up, man. I like it. I'm about to make the playoff.
Adam, like in this day and age, at least in the top seeds of the playoffs.
Yeah, top seeds of the
Anyways, Adam, tell the audience about your practice.
My name's Adam Taylor, and I practice here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I work a lot of cases with Ben, and I do third-party liability litigation, also more commonly referred to as personal injury litigation, and about half my practice is estate planning, and I do estate planning for individuals and families and business succession planning for small, closely held businesses, and I believe that's what we're going to talk about here today. I just want to thank you guys for allowing me back on the show. It's always
a
pleasure.
We absolutely love you.
Yeah, thanks.
Listen,
I love you guys too, man.
What does estate planning, I have to put this caveat, this cautionary note in to say, I'm a little bit biased because Adam is my attorney for my estate. Like we've hired him, my family's hired him. And he represents us in our estate planning. Like, but what does that like entail? What does estate planning mean?
So estate planning is something that you set out while you're still here living for all of your assets and everything you've acquired during your lifetime and how you want it to pass along to your beneficiaries, most likely your children, charities, churches, things of your choice. And it's how it's going to be distributed according to the way you want it to be done. I specialize in probate avoidance trusts so that when you pass away, your assets and your property goes to your family in the most efficient way possible in the way that you want it to be done. In asset succession or business succession planning is for closely held businesses that have key employees and families who would need that kind of revenue stream if something were to happen to the key players of the business in some unforeseen circumstance so that we can make sure that that business continues to operate and move efficiently and things like that.
Because you really want to avoid spending as little time in probate court as possible, right?
Yeah, so how I got started doing this, I've been doing personal injury litigation for a long time. Most of my legal career, with the exception of when I was at the DA's office. And
wait, you were a prosecutor?
I was a prosecutor for 3.5 years out in Carroll County. But during the pandemic, when the court shut down, us litigators, the courts were closed. We didn't have a whole lot to do. I started reading up on estate planning and probate work and things like that, and I kind of immersed myself in it. For about 1.5 years, I read everything I could get my hands on. I started doing it for friends, family, close relatives, things like that. And I started doing a lot of pro bono probate work for the Cobb County Bar Association. And
pro bono means you don't get paid.
You don't get paid. Okay. And I'm representing people through the probate process. And I realized that probate, it's long, it's time consuming, it's stressful,
it'll tear families apart.
It does. Yeah. It's an ugly process, and it is completely avoidable. You know, you can set up probate avoidance trusts where you put your assets into a trust while you're still alive and you name a successor trustee. And so if something happens to you and your spouse simultaneously, or when you pass away and your spouse passes away, that successor trustee automatically controls the trust.
And that way the stuff's where you want it to be, and your kids and whoever is not fighting over it, right?
That's correct.
Because a little bit of money will rip a family completely apart.
Yes.
Yeah, but wait, hang on. Let me just ask this. Yeah. Can't I just do that by writing a will? Just say, I want all my shit to go to blah, blah, blah. All my stuff to go to blah, blah, blah.
You can. And what I will do if I'm probating that will is you give me, or your beneficiaries or your executor gives me that will, I will go down to the local probate court and I will file it.
And you still have to be in court.
You still got to go to court.
Okay.
With the trust, you don't go to court.
You have a way to like bypass that whole thing.
Yes, exactly.
Sounds like something only rich people can afford.
No, that's not true at all. I do trusts for just about anybody. Basically, if you have a house, you can put that house in the name of your living trust. If you have a bank account, you can put that bank account in the name of your living trust. And what happens is when the surviving spouse passes away, the successor trustee who you choose, it could be a close friend, a relative, it could be a corporate entity like a bank or my law firm. Whoever is that successor trustee will go to a bank and say, you know, this bank account is in the name of these two individuals and the successor trustee. These two individuals have passed. I'm the successor trustee. Here's the certification of trust. And then you can take that bank account, the money in the bank account, and put it straight into the estate account. You don't have to have permission from a judge. You don't have to probate it. You don't have to have letters testamentary. You don't have to do any of that stuff. It's almost instantaneous. If your house is in the name of your living trust, when the surviving spouse passes away, the successor trustee literally can get on the phone with the real estate agent and say, I'm the successor trustee. This house is in the name of this trust. We want to put it on the market and sell it so that we can get these funds together to take care of the beneficiaries. It's instantaneous. So you don't have to get permission from a probate judge. You don't have to go through, you know, months of the probate process.
Wow. Yeah. That's brilliant.
And now, the news.
This actually touches on what you do.
Sure.
So, listen, I don't know, Dwayne, if you heard about this, this couple gets married, and seemingly within minutes of the husband putting a ring on his wife's finger, they get in a golf cart, drive down the road, and get completely obliterated by a drunk driver.
Yeah,
did terrible. You hear of this story?
Yeah.
This came up in the news. I mean, it was news anyways because it was just so tragic, right? Like you said, I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but they're very happy-looking couple, like young in their early 30s, and that in itself catches the attention of people. But also now in the news is there's like a fight between the bride's mother and her husband about who's going to be the representatives of the estate in probate court. And who's going to represent the estate in the wrongful injury claim against the girl who killed them?
The wrongful death claim.
The wrongful death. What did I say?
Wrongful injury.
Yeah, wrongful death. Yeah. Sorry, wrongful death claim. Right. Now, we should preface this by saying, like, this is under South Carolina law, but there are a lot of similarities. So, like, Dwayne, start with me on the wrongful death claim. Like, who, if it's in Georgia, who would be the representative of the estate?
So the state is the one that would have to bring forth the claim, right?
Right.
So
the estate, not the estate of Georgia.
Right.
Right.
So whoever the administrator of the estate is, that would be the person that would bring forth the claim. So that whoever gets this position will basically control the claim.
That's on the personal injury claim.
Yes.
That's on the pain and suffering damages for the person.
Right.
All right. So there's a minute that this poor woman was in pain and suffered damages,
right,
and the estate has that claim, but in Georgia, the surviving spouse has to file the wrongful death claim.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the probate thing, like I don't understand how there's some kind of disagreement about who's supposed to be the administrator of the estate.
That's right. There's a couple questions I'd want answered before this. First off, did they already have their marriage license? You know, the actual ceremony, the I do's, the kiss the brides, all that, the legal significance of that, I think, is less than when you actually sign marriage certificates at the courthouse.
Right, because the I do part is the religious part of the ceremony.
Yes.
But sometimes you got to get the pastor to sign
right.
And then you got to take it back to probate court and file it.
Yeah.
So it may not have been filed yet.
Yeah. So, you know, he may legally speaking, may not be the spouse if it hasn't been recorded and everything like that. I'm not sure it's South Carolina. I'm not sure what the process is. I've lived in Georgia my whole life, but I was married in North Carolina, so I know what the North Carolina process. I'd also want to know, was the husband driving the golf cart, or I don't know who was driving the golf cart. I don't know if there might be some kind of maybe an allegation against the husband.
That he caused it?
You never know.
He just had a big bridal party, right? You know, alcohol was involved on his.
There are a lot of creative insurance defense lawyers out there who might try to point a finger.
Might argue that.
Who's driving the cart, and if the husband was driving the cart, then you probably don't want him to be representing the estate because they might be trying to assign some blame to him. You know,
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that. We see that in like Agatha Christie movies or something like that, where like if the husband is the person who caused the wife's death, he can't inherit, right? Because it's against the law or whatever. Like he can't be an heir. So what you're suggesting is, if he's got some culpability, maybe he shouldn't be the administrator of the estate. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and you know, who actually is the administrator of the estate? Who is the executor? It doesn't really bear that much significance. What really matters, like who is going to actually receive the settlement funds from any kind of settlement in this case, would go to the beneficiaries. You know, and if
so, you're saying if I'm
the executor doesn't necessarily receive the funds; it's the beneficiaries. The executor just has to do all the work.
Yeah. So you're saying if I'm the executor of a state or the administrator of a state, I can't just assign all the benefits to me?
No, it would have to go to the beneficiaries under a will or the beneficiaries under a trust. Or I'm assuming if she's young and she just got married, she probably doesn't have a will or trust. I would assume that she would die in what's called intestate. Which means
shut your mouth. Intestate.
It would be intestate.
This is a family show, Adam. For God's sake, man.
Which means it's distributed according to the state's intestacy laws.
But don't they get a small percentage for administrating?
Yeah, that's true. So in Georgia, executors of estates and successor trustees are entitled to a percentage. It's so for individuals, corporate executors and successor trustees, a little different. Those are published rates. But in Georgia, I think it's like 1% of the estate of what comes into it. And then it's set like it's 1.5% a year or 1.2 or 1.1, depending on the size of the estate.
Right.
So they are entitled to a
reasonable,
a pittance, if you will, unless it's like a $5 million estate.
Right.
And then that's no pittance, man.
Right, that's no pittance.
Yeah, exactly. But in what we were talking about, whether the executor, the difference between the executor and the beneficiaries is, you know, if it goes by intestacy laws, and South Carolina may be similar to Georgia, I'm not sure. But
most states are pretty similar.
They are. Intestacy laws, they're pretty old. They've been around for a long time, since the merry old days of England. And if you don't have any children, then it's the surviving spouse who inherits it. And if you don't have a spouse, or if that marriage certificate hadn't been filed or properly executed, then it would be the parents. Mm-hmm. If you don't have any parents, then it would be your siblings. And
it's a little odd to see like parents going against a spouse. Like normally you see, you know, a strange wife going against the kids or something like that.
Or the kids going against the newest wife.
Yeah, the new wife, right?
Yeah.
The Pamela Anderson thing.
Yeah, right. I have special packages I do for blended families where there are exes and there are new stepchildren and there are children from other marriages. You know, that's a whole another animal. We could probably do about a 5-hour show on that.
That's a whole another episode.
It's a whole other episode. But it is a little strange to see them quabbling or squabbling over who's actually going to represent the estate.
Right.
Because a representative doesn't necessarily receive the benefits of it. It's
like, can't they pick the attorney?
Oh, they do get to pick the attorney.
Yeah, that might be part of it.
Yeah, that could be a part. I didn't think about that angle, but that is true. Yeah.
Well, there's so many things to talk about, but there is only so much time.
Yeah.
And we're out of it. So thank you. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for joining us
at the Bob Law and Irreverent D podcast. Make sure that you subscribe. Make sure you send an email to bobandidtalklaw@gmail.com. We are looking for your emails and your comments
Dwayne, comment below. Comment like us. Make share. Sure.
We have literally thousands of subscribers.
We're going to have millions of subscribers.
Yeah, I'm a subscriber, and I watch your show every time it comes out.
You know, sometimes, Adam, I watch out. Our show yeah. multiple times.
Not multiple times?
Yeah, multiple times. So I actually like it so much.
Yeah, I watch it all.
And I'm taking medications
yeah, okay.
for when this goes viral.
Like it.
So bad.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next time when Bob and Irreverent D talk law.